A lot of information floating around here. And there's a lot of people look at the Bible as if it's information, and it is. But you need to turn information into revelation for it to really work for you. Because revelation knowledge is what the New Testament is built on. Look at the Apostle Paul. It was a Pauline revelation. I'm telling you something. You, and he taught us to pray. He said, pray this way. He said, pray that the Father would give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that the eyes of your understanding would be flooded with light, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, what is the glory, riches of the glory of the inheritance that is yours, and the exceeding greatness of his power that's always coming your way. And it's not something that you just say, okay, God's powerful, and it's no. You need a revelation of his power.
Yes.
How to walk in it, how to receive it, how to use it, because it's something that he wants you to use effectively against your number one enemy, and he wants you to use it effectively to protect your brothers and sisters too. So, turn with me to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 24. This is an amazing promise. I want us to start off here with this promise. It's, and I'm reading from the Amplified, Mark 4, 24. We there yet, Stephen?
You gave me Matthew 4.
I'm sorry. I apologize profusely. I finally made a mistake. Well, Brian laughs because he plays golf with me. And he knows the mistakes abound. But that's okay. He makes them too. And we never have a holy one in one. Well, Jesus is speaking here, and he's making a promise to you. He said, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. This is an amazing promise. You know, we gloss over these things many times. But he said, the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And it doesn't stop there, does it? And more besides will be given to you. Is that what it says? That's a promise. So that if you don't focus, if you don't give heed to the things that you're hearing, in fact, the King James says that, take heed, because to you who hear, more will be given. So this is really an invitation to say, you know what, I'm going to listen. This word is for me. In fact, let's go right to our confession if we want. This word is for me. And it's gonna, and the more attention I give to it, the more it's gonna come back to me in virtue and in knowledge, and not only that, more than that will be given to me. So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Boy, I'll tell you something. Every time you open the Bible, say this first. And because you know what? Every cell in your body starts to line up to hear the word of God. Your muscles hear the word of God. Did you know that?
Yes.
Your cells listen to the word of God.
Amen.
It has to.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, when God spoke to the earth and said, bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, the earth didn't have a choice. Did it?
No.
Well, where were you, where was Adam formed from? The earth. Your body is not a hospital record, it is a heavenly record. And your body has to listen to the Word of God. Say, oh, I tried that, it never worked for me. It doesn't come from trying. It comes from believing and speaking. That's what the Word, that's what the spirit of faith does. I have believed, therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Why? Because we're created in His image and likeness. Jesus said, believe it in your heart, say it with your mouth, it'll come to pass. So it's not about trying it. You know, you don't try. You live this, and when you accept it as your truth, what happens is you speak it until your body doesn't have a choice anymore. It may take a while, but it is called the fight of faith. Well, I see that one over big. Hey, you listen to it, give heed, listen, perceive, and regard those things that you're hearing. And to the measure that you listen and apply to your life, that's the measure of virtue and knowledge that will come back to you and more besides. Say this, the Word of God is loaded for me. Oh, that tickles. Praise God. Do you know why? And you know, you think of Mary and Martha. Remember, Martha was busy banging pots and pans and trying to get everything to. Nobody told her to do that. She just felt she had to. She was doing things on her own. And then she says, Lord, would you tell Mary? Like, now she's telling Jesus what to do, right? And so would you tell Mary to come in? He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled and careful, I mean anxious, about many things. But Mary has chosen that good part that shall not be taken from her. Whatever you receive from God won't be taken from you. Whatever is revealed to you, what is revelation, it becomes part of you, your inner man. And it just, nobody can take it from you. Nobody can talk you out of it. Nobody can open your fist. You may open my fist, but you know what? It's in here. You can't touch that. And it will not be taken from you. So if you listen, that's the measure that you give will be measured to you. And it's a good measure that comes back to you. More than you ever put in, too. Okay, we're talking about, our series here is the harvest is now. Many of us don't realize that we are standing in a harvest right now of our own creation in many ways. Whatever your situation, whatever your problems are, whatever things you're facing, you are in a situation that you have made yourself. Now, that doesn't sound like good news, does it? It's just your fault. Well, a lot of times it is. Here's the thing. If you're the one that got you into that mess, you're the one that can get you out if you turn this around. Speak the word only. The Roman centurion said that. And we see. Notice that didn't come from some Jewish rabbi or it didn't come from a Pharisee. It didn't come from a Sadducee. They're Sadducee because they didn't believe anything. So, but we believe in Jesus who rose from the dead and did everything for us. So we have an open invitation to declare the word of God. Speak the word only. So when you're going through a trouble, through a period of challenges or whatever it is, and you focus on what God says about it instead of what the challenge is telling you, guess what? You're bringing it into the realm of faith and you will win every time because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Keep it in the realm of faith and you will win every single time. Yes. Praise God. It may not look like it. It may look like you're totally defeated. I mean, look at the disciples when Jesus was crucified. I mean, total defeat, right? He's dead. Dun 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 dun. The third day. What happened? He rose from the dead. And he's the one who lives in you.
That's right.
Amen. And he doesn't hold anything back from you. If he gave his life, why would he hold anything back from you? Matthew chapter 13, we're talking about this. Today, we're talking, the subtitle for our series is, An Enemy Has Done This. How many people blame God for everything?
A lot.
A lot. President Trump would say, a lot. A lot. And they're all wrong, too. Because God is a good God. He's a good father. He doesn't break your leg. He doesn't create catastrophes. He doesn't do anything like that. The trials in this world come from the devil.
That's right.
Say, well, God gives me trials. Who's your God? You know, he says, lead us not into temptation. That word temptation means tempt, test, and try.
Wow.
You can look it up.
Wow.
God doesn't tempt us. God doesn't test us. God doesn't try us. There's enough trials in this world to keep you busy for till 2 weeks over into the millennium.
Wow.
God will help you overcome them. Just because you're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and just because you are walking the word of faith that Paul preached, where he said we preach the word of faith, that doesn't guarantee that you're not going to have trials. The devil will make sure you do. But be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world and the God of this world. Praise God. So chapter 13, verse 24, Jesus is talking about a number of things here, strategies of the enemy, and he's putting it into seed form for us. Verse 24 says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said to them, this is a good confession. An enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. You know, you got to give credit to the enemy when he deserves it. And give credit to God when he deserves it. An enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, okay, you want us to gather them up? He said, no. Verse 29, he said, lest when you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. In other words, we'll lose everything trying to save everything, right? Let both grow together until harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Then, in verse 36, he explains the parable. Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. This is his house where he lived in Capernaum. Went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. In other words, what were you saying when you said that? He said, okay, here's what he said. He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall the end of the world be. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and he shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. In this furnace of fire, there will not be a fourth man in that fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth. Say, I'm righteous.
I am righteous.
Because God said so. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their father. They will shine forth what? As the sun in the kingdom of their father. Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. You see, here's that ears to hear again. What measure you meet. This is a promise. You give attention to things that God is important to God. He will give attention to you, and he'll turn it into virtue and knowledge and more things than that. So the landowner who sowed the seed, he sowed good seed in the fields, and while his workers slept, his enemy came and sowed tares in the wheat. I wanted to focus on these tares for a moment. You know, tares, what we call them, if you look in the dictionary or if you look in if you Google, how about that? We have a lot of supply in this world right now. It's called, in English, darnel, D-A-R-N-E-L, darnel. And it's referred to historically as wheat's evil twin. Evil twin. You know why that is? It looks very similar to wheat and grows in, when it grows in the early stages, but as it matures, it becomes recognizable for what it is. It's a weed. And it's not just a weed. It's not just a harmless weed. Actually, darnel is poisonous. It contains toxins that can cause symptoms of drunkenness, nausea, vomiting, and even death in humans, and contains what is known a cocktail of toxins that have been historically used for psychoactive effects. It affects the nervous system, causes delirium, gastrointestinal distress, and paralysis, and even death. Now, there's a reason why this tares is compared to these seeds that the devil sows. See, in the natural, you've got natural things, but he's comparing it to spirit. That's what a parable is. He's comparing natural things with spiritual things. And the psychoactive effects, he's talking about our mind, tares that the devil plants to put your mind in the wrong direction, to deceive you, to draw your attention and put it on something else, on the storm instead of the Savior, on the wind instead of the answers that he brings you. And all of that, to take that and forget about what had just happened was the loaves and fishes, because their heart was hardened. Good word, Dwight. That was a really good word. I love listening to Dwight, man. I just teed off, you know, just like a I'm teeing up a ball, really. And it just makes me want to whack the devil right in the head. Yeah. Praise God. You know, you feel your oats when you're under the anointing like that. We have a gift in Dwight. We have a gift in a lot of you. We have a gift in John doing the communion message and Scott when he does the tithe message. We have a gift, so many gifts in this body. But psychoactive effects, this is about the mind and emotions, where the mind is confused and comes under control of toxins. You don't like toxins. Toxins are not good for you. It's also in the realm of emotions that can lead us into tragedies. If we're led by our emotions, it'll lead to a tragic end. But you see, in the New Testament, it says that we have the fruit of the Spirit. If we're born again, the fruit of the Spirit are already in the born-again believer. You have love if you're born of God. You have joy if you're born. Why? Because it's the same person. Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness. I mean, joy is in you. These are the fruit of the recreated human spirit and the peace of God and the love of God and the joy of God. You have all those things in you. And one of those fruit is what? The very last one. Who can name it? Who said that? Give her an A and a gold star and three pats on the back. Thank you, Dave. That's good. Praise God. Self-control. That's something that separates us from the world. And even to a measure, the world has self-control, which separates us from the animal kingdom. Hello? And psychoactive effects. You have self-control in your human, if you're born again. Then the appearance of drunkenness. These are biotoxins. And it's the inability to focus on the right things. Focus on the truth rather than your circumstances. To discern lies of the devil and deception of the devil as you're going along in life. You know, tares, weeds. and gastrointestinal distress. This points to our inability to digest food and get all our cells all clogged up and get a obstruction or something. I'm not saying you took tears, Brian. But it points to the fact that you have trouble digesting the bread of life, the word of God, and applying it properly and balance the truth, dividing it properly in your life. Amen? Now, point of interest here is to understand that weeds have a purpose. What's the main thing that weeds do when they grow? Spread, and what do? Choke out. Right. Do you remember when Jesus said this? And there's no accident that this parable comes right after the parable of the sower, when he said the five things that enter into our life, affliction and persecution, two things, affliction and persecution. Affliction arises and they get offended immediately and depart. Persecution, what do those things do? Well, I better keep my mouth shut, otherwise affliction will, or they'll say things bad about me. It's designed to shut you up. God calls you a speaking spirit so that you can speak the truth. And so the louder the world gets, the louder we got to get. In fact, if they turn their volume up, we shout! Because we're absolutely convinced of who and what we believe. He is a person. And you say, well, that sounds kind of forceful. Yes. Look, the devil doesn't care where you are. He's going to force his agenda upon you any way he possibly can. And we've got to stand up and say no. But when we stand up, we allow the truth to be released. Angels are released when we speak the word of God. Truth is released, and it goes forth and does what it does, and we're effortlessly, and the truth will bring the darkness and light to make it obvious. They will make the choices obvious. Say, here's what you can do. If you go this way, you're going to be defeated, lost, and suffer. If you go this way, you'll have light and truth. Jesus said, if they follow me, they will not walk in darkness. They will have the light of life. He says, I'm the light of the world. Where was I? So Jesus points to the cares of this life, lust of other things, and the deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of riches, saying, I have to have that, otherwise I won't be happy. You're deceived. Riches will make me happy. You're deceived. No, because there are plenty of people who have many riches who are absolutely miserable in this world. And you know what? The most covetous people I've ever met in my life are people who have no money at all. It's all over the charts. What really matters is that you're hooked in with Jesus. When you are listening to what he says and giving heed to it, in other words, respecting it, regarding it as something more valuable than anything that you could come up with on your own, that the truth is a valuable thing to you, then the measure of virtue and knowledge that will, workable knowledge, workable virtues that will come into play in your life will be yours. He'll make sure you get it. And more than that besides. Say that, more than that besides. See, so there's five things, persecution and affliction. Then there's the cares of this life, lusts of other things, and the deceitfulness of riches. These are all tares. And we could pay attention to all kinds of different tares that are attached to each one of those roots. What was that? Somebody has joy back there. But I think it's more important to focus on the purpose of the tares. What are they designed to do? It's important that you recognize those and everything so that you can resist them and deal with them. But you need to understand what the tares are designed to do, what those toxins are designed to do. And the first thing that they do is they attack your identity in Christ. That's the first thing the devil did in the wilderness with Jesus when he tempted him. He said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. If. Now, Jesus could have said, what do you mean if? There's no if. I am the Son. If he said that, bingo, he would have lost the whole thing. You know why? Because now the devil is leading the narrative and he's responding to it rather than taking authority over it with the word of God, which is what he did. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What happened to the devil's argument? Gone. Didn't have a leg to stand on. Why? Because Jesus quoted the word of his Father. Which also gives us a tremendously powerful license that we can live by every word of God. And he will honor it. This is an invitation when he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. You can live by every word that God ever recorded in the Bible. That is in the Bible. It is backed by blood covenant. It is a living word. It's unlike anything in the world. And when you get it in here and it comes out here and it renews your mind, transformation comes and boom, I'm no longer a weak, tired, defeated, deflated Christian looking for somebody to give me joy. Because I got the author of joy. I got the inside me. Woo! So what is the purpose? He attacks your identity. That's exactly what he did with Jesus. Now, I'll tell you why this is so vital and so important. Is because if Jesus started to do things because he was the Son of God, he would have disqualified himself from being our Savior, our substitute. Why? Because he didn't do it as God. He did it as man. He called himself the Son of Man. He was God, manifest in the flesh. But Philippians chapter 2 says he put all that mighty weight aside and became a servant like unto us. He was just like you and me. And everything he did, he didn't do because he was the Son of God. He did it as an anointed man of God with a baptized in the Holy Spirit, were an anointed of the Father. And if the devil got him to do something because he was the Son of God, he would have been disqualified. As your substitute, because he would have been doing it at a much higher level and it wouldn't have worked. He had to be just like us. He had to be in a place where he could actually be tempted. You know, God can't be tempted. He had to be just as human as us and overcome it. And he went to that cross and was made sin, having never sinned. Can you fathom that? I just can't put into words what happens when it says this, the eternal sacrifice that Jesus made. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says this, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. That is the man. He's still a man. The eternal sacrifice that he made for you and me, he is still a man at the right hand of the Father. And you know what? He's just as much God as the Father is. And you know what else? He's just as human as you and me. Yet, without sin. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Praise God. You know, I start these things and then the Holy Spirit takes over and sometimes I have to work my way back in here. The purpose of the tares is to intoxicate you and get you away from your identity of who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and all you can do because of Christ. What do you mean all I can do because of cleanse the leper. Freely you have received, freely give. Say this, the target of the tares is my identity. I am who God says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. I am seated where he says I am seated. Together with him in heavenly places in Christ. Praise God. Praise God. See, this is why Jesus never took any credit for anything he ever said or did. Turn to John chapter 14, verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He does the works. Jesus never took credit for one sermon he ever preached. He didn't take credit for any miracle he ever did. He didn't make any prophecy he ever gave. Every work or sign and wonder he ever wrought, he didn't take credit for it. He said, it's the Father in me. He does the works. And then two verses later, in verse 12, John 10, 14, verse, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than he does, because I go to the Father. Somebody said, well, yeah, we've got television, radio. Those are greater works. No, no. He said, you have to, he talked about the works that I do, shall you do also. And greater than these. We've had healing. We've had the gifts of the Spirit flowing in this body for a long time. The greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, why would he change now? Just when you need him. If there's anybody here who has a really pressing need, healing, health, financial, relational, whatever, you're at a real place, I want you to come up here after, and I'm going to lay hands and pray on you. Maybe you don't even need hands laid on you. Because God can do right where you are right now. He can reach it. But I'm getting you ready for something here, because the harvest is now. You need to reach out and take it. That's what that word receive. What things soever you desire, when praying, believe you receive them, and you shall believe you take them. That's what it means. To tenacious, it means lambano. It means that you seize upon it, and take it, because God gave it to me. That means you respect it enough to just pull it in and take it. Praise God. Praise God. And you know what? Anything we do, we can't take credit for it either. It's Jesus in me. He does the works. He's something else. Praise God. This is the gospel that empowers the body of Christ. This is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation, because it's the revelation of the righteousness that you have become. It is the revelation of that oneness with God, that there is nothing between you and him. There's no condemnation. There's no nothing like that. This is the gospel of the kingdom that empowers you and tells you who you are, tells you what you can do and what you have and where you are seated, and the authority that you have been delegated by the Father himself through Christ. Amen. Jesus has, look, he did everything. He put his whole body on. He said, this is a finished work. Yes. Yes. Receive it. Yes. It's yours. Take it. It's yours. Walk in it. It's yours. Don't you want a vision for the future and a past that's totally blotted out? That's the reality of the gospel. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness means right standing with God. It means you're totally justified, and justified means just as if you never sinned. It's why if he can wipe it out of God's mind, the blood is that power. He can wipe it out of yours. And purge your conscience from dead works. This is the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. For in therein is the revelation of righteousness from faith to faith. For as it is written, the just shall live by it. Live by faith. It's important to him that you live by faith. Faith in him. Don't let the devil just stomp all over your identification in Christ. It is everything. Your identification, this is why we're concentrating so much on this thing, because this is what the devil attacks first, is your identity. I remember when I was young, in the Lord, I was 24 years old. I was playing in a band. I quit the band because of the places we were playing and the words I had to sing and everything else there. It was just demonic. And I got out of the band, and I started driving a taxi cab. You know what the devil would come to me and say, you know what, if you were really a Christian, if you were really born again, you know, you wouldn't think that. You wouldn't feel that way. You wouldn't say this. Any question in your mind that starts with an if, forget it. God doesn't talk in ifs. He's not an ifer. The devil is an ifer. If, what's he trying to do? He's trying to lead the narrative. You see, no, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I have a flesh to deal with, but I am not my flesh. And one day I'll be rid of this. But now, devil, you're going to see who I really am. Because I'm not going to let one lie come out of my mouth. I'm not going to let one falsity or perversion of the word of God come out of my mouth. I am in Christ. Period. You know, if the devil drags you to court, you got the Father who's the judge, yeah. Jesus is your defense attorney, and the devil is their prosecutor. Yeah. He's the one accusing you. He's the accuser of the brethren. And so you get on the stand and the devil starts throwing these things. And they may be true. You may have absolutely sinned. And Jesus is here. Just say this. Just say this. You can say, devil, you're right. I did that. But you know what I have? I have a right that you don't have. I have a right to repent. I have a covenant guaranteed right that I can confess my sin and be totally, not only forgiven of my sin, but cleansed from all unrighteousness. I have that right because I am a son of the living God, a daughter of the living God. I am a child of God. And Jesus goes, and the Father puts the gavel down and says, case dismissed, there's no case. The devil has no case against you. So all of those thoughts of alienation from God are all lies. The truth is that you are accepted in Christ. You are made accepted in the Beloved. In the Beloved. Made that way. If he made you that way, how can the devil remake you another way? You believe in once saved, always saved? I don't think it should be a question. Should it? Absolutely. Praise God. Now, let's go back to the parable. When Jesus was giving the parable, he said a certain man had sowed good seed in his field, right? Then he explained, in verse 36, he explained the parable. Matthew 13, verse 36. He says, declare unto us the parable. He answered and said, he that sows the good seed is who? The Son of Man. The field is the world, and good seed are the children of God. Okay, so the Son of Man, that's Jesus. He sowed the seed, which is the children of God, the good seed of the children of the kingdom. Did you realize if you put this together, you were planted in the kingdom of God by Jesus himself? It says in Isaiah 61 that you're the planting of the Lord, a tree of righteousness. Wow! You are a planting of the Lord.
Amen.
And if God says, be full, be fruitful, multiply, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be full. You're going to be fruitful. And you're going to multiply. You're going to overflow in it. This is why John 14:10. No, it's... Where did he say, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father, he will give it you. I rest my case. You are a planting of the Lord. You are a seed that he took and cared about so much that he put in this and gave you the power to reach a dark world, to be light in that dark world, to be salt in that dark world, to be everything that he was in this world, an absolute clone of him. That as he is, so are we in this world. John 14:17. As he is, so are we in this world. With the same anointing, the same ability, the same power, the same everything. You have been ordained of God to go and bring forth fruit and that to multiply yourself even as he multiplied. The word of God is God. And if the word of the seed of the word of God dwells in you, it's going to reproduce after its own kind, according to the perfect law of Genesis. You have a lot going for you and a lot working for you. This is why he said, don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you'll be really satisfied. You'll be full. And you'll be able to recognize the deception. You'll be recognize those tares for what they are. And yeah, do you know what happens at harvest time? The wheat and the tares? Do you know what they do? They take it all and put it in a pile. And then they take those winnowing forks and they throw it up. And since there's no weight or any substance to the tares, the wind blows them away. And the wheat falls to the ground. And then it's gathered into the barn. By the way, he said, gather the wheat into my barn. That's the rapture. That's the rapture. That's the rapture of the church anyway. Praise God. Man shall not live by bread. Remember, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides shall be. So be expecting. If you give a measure of attention to the word of God, God's going to give you the same measure of virtue. So give yourself over to everything that the word of God. Make the word everything to yourself. Make it your everything. And there's no limit. There's no limit. Now, I mentioned before, if you have a pressing need in your life, if you're at a place right now where you think, you know what, I just saw something. I need to solidify that. I need you to agree with us in prayer. I want you to come forward as we end the service. Our altar ministers will be here. And miracles have happened at this altar. So take advantage of that. It would be wise not to miss the time of your visitation. Because this hasn't been impressed. Lori and I were talking about this yesterday, and we were impressed. There are needs in this body that we need to just address and bring the answer to. Amen?
Amen.
So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return to you void. We thank you, Father, that it will reach deep into our heart. It'll be deeply rooted in our heart and blossom in our heart with the light that we need when we need it, the truth that we need when we need it, the direction and vision that we need when we need it. Because as the wisdom of God, Jesus, you are the wisdom of God. And you are, you cause us to be where we need to be at the right time, in the right place, with the right information, with the right revelation, and with the answers that we have been looking for. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, and we receive. Hallelujah. Praise God.